Deuteronomy, chapter 7. You are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
God. His joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. He said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. This is the kingdom to each of you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the epistle reading for this day from Romans chapter 8. I read you again these words. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, our treasure and only Savior of the world. St. Paul says that all things work together for good for those who love God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that all things work together for good for God's children, for those who believe in Christ? It certainly doesn't seem like it, does it? How can anything good come from cancer or from some other disease? How can anything good come from the death of a loved one? How can anything good come from divorce or any other separation, such as job loss? How can anything good come out of a sudden and very serious illness that requires emergency hospitalization and possibly emergency surgery? How can anything good come from fire, flood, tornado, or other natural disaster, which may take all of our earthly belongings? It just doesn't seem that it's possible that anything good can come from any of that. And yet, that's what God says through Paul. For those who love God, all things work together for good. This is good news for you, dear people of God, but we don't always believe it. So we do well to listen to God's word to comfort and strengthen us for these difficult and uncertain times. And the key to understanding all this is the phrase, to those who are called according to his purpose. And that's you. For you have been called to be a child of God. In baptism, God claimed you as his own as he washed away your sins and placed his name on you. He called you to be his dear child, and he gave you his promises. For God's purpose is that you be conformed to the image of his Son, and that you be found to be in Christ, now and forever. And when bad things happen to us, when seeming disaster strikes our lives, we may wonder if or how this is true. When we Christians suffer trials and tribulations, we may think that God doesn't love us anymore. We may think we've done something so bad that he's punishing us or giving up on us. That's certainly what the world and the devil would want us to believe. But you can be sure that God never does give up on us, does not give up on you. He never stops loving you. Of that, you can and must be certain. And yet, we do suffer. But such really should not surprise us, for we are sinners living in a sinful world. Trials are one of the givens of the Christian life. Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Indeed, as God's children, we should expect nothing less. For our dear Lord certainly suffered. Thus, tribulation, as Paul calls it, is one of the marks of the Christian struggle in this world. And elsewhere, Paul writes, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not given to despair. For Christians, the world is just a tough place to be. Now, of course, all of this is contrary to those who teach that if you only have enough faith, if only you do the right things, you will prosper in health and wealth. Again, Paul tells us, to the present hour we hunger and thirst. We are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless, and we labor working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. And if that weren't enough, listen to what happened to Paul. 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Thanks be to God that we don't generally experience such trials and tribulations and afflictions as Paul did, and especially so for merely professing the faith. But we do suffer, each in our own way. If not physically or mentally, then most certainly spiritually. As we suffer trials and tribulations, as we suffer illness or disease, as we suffer the effects of aging, as we suffer the death of loved ones and the loneliness it often brings, we may be tempted to doubt that God loves us. And this is especially true when we suffer for the faith itself. For Christianity is under attack, as it always has been. Being a Christian, especially a Christian who believes and confesses that the Bible is the inerrant and inspired word of God, it will earn you ridicule. Failing to go along with all of this age's thinking and immorality that permeates our society automatically labels you as backwards and unenlightened. So as the ways of the world and the devil are closing in on us, it will be harder and harder for us to remain faithful in the practice of our faith. The pressure will be to give up a little bit here and there. Cave in areas that don't really seem all that important. The time is coming when we who believe all that the Bible tells us will find ourselves and our beliefs totally out of step with the world around us, if we aren't there already. Standing firm in our faith will be a daily test and a struggle. Even with all this, we are not to be discouraged or to give in to despair or fear. You see, God loves you so much, and in such a way, that he gave his only son for you to bear your sins, to be your Savior, and to die for you. You are the treasure in the field, and a pearl of great price, and you are that precious to him. He paid such a price for you, not because you are worthy, but because you were unworthy. You have, and have nothing to commend you to God that he should look on you with favor. Even as God said to Israel, the Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all people, but it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. God did work all things for their good. And thus, he looks upon you with favor because he loves you and has compassion on you. He caused you to be brought to the font to be baptized so that your sins would be forgiven and that you might be given the robe of Christ's righteousness. He created and sustained saving faith in you through the channels that he has appointed. His word, his absolution, his Holy Supper. Indeed, God loves you with an endless love. But don't look for that love apart from his Son, our Lord Jesus. For only in Jesus do we see God's love for us most clearly. In Jesus, we see God pour out his eternal wrath over sin so that we may be his children and live without fear. In Jesus, we see God's law fulfilled and his justice satisfied. In Jesus' death on the cross, we see the horror of being separated from God as Jesus was thus forsaken. And yet, we need not fear such separation ourselves, because Jesus has suffered it for us and in our place. And in his resurrection from the dead, he assures us that we will never have to experience that for ourselves. Since Jesus has conquered sin, death, and the devil for us, we too are more than conquerors. That's why we can be certain of God's unending love and our eternal triumph. For in Christ, we have everything, especially the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. We have a home waiting for us in glory. And no matter how much we suffer in this life, no matter what comes our way, we are assured that victory over all that assails us, all things, are working for our good. Paul put it this way: I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can be certain that God will always love us because he has given Jesus to be our Savior. And even though we suffer in this life, we can be certain that he is with us always, according to his promise, and that he will surely work all things together for your good. Because of Jesus, and only because of Jesus, you can be sure that God loves you beyond measure and without fail, now and forever. Amen. The peace of